concern of the witnesses and they are proposing that the need for the national education in ETC to exist and to be a mandatory consultant for
the
I just want to bring it to your attention. Hello, Mr. Chairperson. What I was saying, they say they are talking about the quintile there, that they have clear criteria to allocate schools to quintile. If there are no clear criteria, I suggested that there is no clear criteria, what I'm saying. I don't remember.
I'm not sure this thing seems to deal with two issues. I don't know if it's the quota system for learner support material, which I think should be addressed in the regulation. And it goes further to say there must be clear criteria to allocate schools to quintiles. And then they mention this clause where they say based on school needs. Chairperson, the issue of quintiles is one of the main issues, both at the level of this committee and arising from our own interaction with the school, you know, themselves. And I've supported the principle, Chairperson, that says really the issue of a criteria that is based on the needs of schools, né? In terms of your classification of quintiles. For those who were here yesterday, we raised this issue here with the DC. It was raised very, very sharply. Né? It affects nearly went to a number of schools. In one of the far northern cases, where these people were saying this used to be a multi-city school in the past, but now it's populated by historically disadvantaged. But in terms of the current system of the quintile, you know, it has been, you know, graded otherwise. You know. We must accept there's a challenge on that. But I may be waiting, Chairperson, to express myself definitely. I agree with the principle. You know. I may be waiting to express myself with the principle as in the law, because I want to assume that there are other processes that deal with the classification of quintile. If I am contracted as to those processes outside this thing, I'll really maintain that our response must be we agree with the principle, but it can be addressed at another level. You know? But even if there's no other level where in this issue can be addressed, I'll support the existing case. That's my position.
Now, the problem here is that they are not saying that this thing must actually come into its part. Deal with regulation, you see. That's not about the regulation. So, I don't think we need to agree a lot on this matter. It's the one to come into regulation and not to the game. I don't know what other struggles to think about this.
Chair, the issue of the quintiles and the determination of schools within the quintiles is an aspect which is dealing with the financial distribution of the available funding in a province to the schools according to the quality ranking system. And here, if there is a problem with the management of schools within the placement of those schools within those quintiles, it is a practical issue which the legislative framework has already been provided in terms of section 35 and 40, 39 and 40 of the Schools Act. Here, these are a clause which is dealing with other normal standards and not with those standards. And it is different aspects. I think the Honourable Member summed it up correctly that there should be a focus and making sure that it is implemented properly, that it is through those practices and not these practices in clause 5.
And then what about the other thing, 5823? For instance, says the minister may, by regulation, prescribe a minimum uniform norms and standards in respect of provision of learning and teaching support materials, the availability of stationery and supply, learning material, teaching material and equipment, science, technology, blah blah, electronic equipment, school furniture, and school furniture and the school equipment. And I think here that that is what saying on the, based on the school needs after the learning material. One thing.
Sorry, I
want to hear from member. The negotiation is between members, between provinces. The negotiations are between provinces. Sula?
Separately, if there are other processes to deal with issues of Quintal, I really appreciate that, that you must accept in principle the if they are raising is correct, né? But it can be addressed at another level. Yes, also. That would be my suggestion.
Are we agree to that, Oliver?
Agree.
He's saying that this whole question of Quintal is addressed in a way. Mm. And not in this field.
Mm.
And if it is indeed addressed elsewhere, we should not be entertaining it here.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm. You pass that one, so the third system of this one you don't agree with? Seven. Random session. It's the same actually essence that I should be left to the police. I think the whole kind of fishing and testing of your brain must be left to the police. In other words, that whole section must be left out of the field. What I'm saying. Hello, Lutuna.
See, I was with you with Honorable Namula and in the United Kingdom, Britain.
Mm.
And we're shocked that some of the things and problems, social ills that we have in South Africa actually prevalent even in the, your first world countries. But how they deal with these things, you know, they deal with them differently. Having said that, Chesiko, initially you remember my view on this thing. I believe strongly that this is the task of the police. But I'm persuaded, Chesiko, by argument that says, what is the intention of this issue of random searching? Is it the intention of random searching to deal with criminality in schools, or is it the random searching enforcement of discipline in schools? And my argument is that it's about enforcing discipline in schools. My argument is that Jefferson is about enforcing discipline in schools. Nothing. And maybe we must take our memories back, Jefferson, to something years back. One of the campaigns that the Congress of South African Students caused us waste in the 80s was to create schools as the learning centers. No members of the defense force, then no members of the South African police force. And therefore, if we understand this thing to mean to mean it to be about enforcing discipline in school, the discipline in school, the primary responsibility of enforcing discipline in school is educators, the principal in particular. Not police, because when you include police there, I don't think this thing belongs here, just as you must amend Criminal Procedure Act. We must amend Criminal Procedure Act, because this thing quite heavy says, even when these kids are found to have been tested positive for having consumed drugs, there will be all sorts of intervention, counseling and all those things. Those things won't be handed over to the police or whatever. They will be handed, but they won't be criminalization of kids. Because of the recognition of the social ills, it is the adults who are corrupt, who are manipulating kids to carry drugs in their bags at school. Some of the kids are used basically as marketing sales boys and sales girls, ne? For this thing. So I don't think it would be fair to criminalize these kids. Ne? We need to deal with this issue in a manner like rehabilitate and transform the children. So, I maintain to a person that the issue of police is out of question here. Yeah? And whoever feels strong about the issue of the police, then this club does not belong here. It should belong somewhere. Maybe the advocates are here. It should belong somewhere. Criminal Procedure Act. Yeah? You know, because when they say police, no doubt, when they find drugs illegal, you are subjected to criminal proceedings. And I don't think this is the intention. of the department in which this particular firm. So I rest my case for that.
Thank you very much. Eventually, they will divorce you. Everybody will divorce you. It looks like we all agree.
It is crucial for the
elite people. No. I need someone who is a different Jew. We don't have a different Jew. If you cry, I know that you agree. But if you are a different Jew, yes, I'll be here. So it looks like we are all agreeing. But yes, this cause belongs here. We can't bring in police. This threat and seizure is not to address criminality, but to address discipline, to address the boycott of black free schools, the boycott of non-violence in our schools. That is the table. And not criminality. That's the document. Thank you. Good. Number 14. They're speaking about the... They are saying that the school must acknowledge press charges against whoever is found heading drugs, whoever is actually tested to have taken drugs. They are saying that the school must press charges. They feel that there are no charges that have to be pressed, but the school can institute disciplinary hearings at the school level. Now, if the case says, no. The school must actually press charges, criminal charges. I think it's linked to that one. They are linked, and therefore, if we are saying that the police are not supposed to come in those service, and therefore in those 14 also we are saying there should not be any charges pressed against the key. Well, I mean, it will defeat the whole aim. What are you saying? Professor Mapala.
I'm also of the idea that usually when you drop these young people at school are there to be molded. If one is seen going off the line, maybe having a dangerous weapon or drug, it still can be molded by getting hold of that dangerous weapon, call the parents, call the governing body, work out the situation. But while saying that, knowing a number of places, the things differ with places. You even find some gangs within the school, and then there is an innocent principal is now dealing with gangs. You know, like setting something, don't say. If you don't say, there won't be any criminality in the school. There will be. If you say, searching for what? Take to the police. No, don't take to the police. You are a teacher, and you must work it out as a parent. That's all.
I think we are agreeing that you search in order to make your school to be drug-free. You test so that the kids must not be able to take drugs. That's the main thing. Now, then the police, in terms of, if police is different, if for instance, a child who steps somebody at school, they're different story altogether. You know, that's the police taking. But when you say that there's no criminality within the crime committed yet, there's no need to take this into. And in any case, the teachers will spend most of their time in court, testifying all the time, in terms of teaching, you see. So you must avoid this type of situation. So we are agreeing that we can't take that into the police.
Can I pose a question?
Yes, sir.
What does the principal do with the drug?
Now the bill is very clear on that. It says that the drug must be taken to the police for disposal. But you are not pressing charges. The weapon must be taken to the police for disposal. But you are not pressing charges. But you can't stop them if they want to. But you are not there at the school. Yes. The police officer, I think, can if he wants to. But you're not going to be a witness for that in the court of law. Agree? Good. Number eight speaks about, you remember there was this whole question of the principal not being, you know, not allowed to testify in the court of law against the Department of Education, either the minister, the HOG, or the MEC. I think the Department of Education has actually come across it on this one. Or they have actually changed their mind. You know? And if they've changed their mind, therefore, this falls off, isn't it? this will then fall off. Because there's an argument that you cannot stop the principal from testifying.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
The position is that we're not against the deletion of this. The issue here is there is a risk of a challenge, and although there are different positions on it, it is not essential to the legislation, and therefore it's not going to affect it adversely by deletion. And the instruction from the minister is to request, if the committee is not requesting it, to request this portion to be deleted.
You remember that during your principles were really about this as well, you know. And I think if deletion is for us, it's actually what we would have suggested also, you know. So it means the views of the department and our views are coinciding in this respect, and therefore we're asking for its deletion. Then we go to clause 14. The National Student Financial Aid should also address the whole, this is addressed already. The National Student Financial Aid, it does address the question of admission. So, there's no problem. It does. Where it does not, it means it's just people trying to be funny there. But in accordance with that, what should happen is that it must, people who don't have admission fee, it must actually change up for them as well. That's how it is. Thank you. We are now taking off the Eastern Cape. Monday, we go to the Eastern. We're now going to Free State. Yeah? The member of the Free State legislature is out, will deal with it without him. Free State, can you take us on board on your
mind? The Free State mandate is... Maybe they would have sent Advocate Machaga to speak on this thing. But my reading is that I must read it in conjunction with the amendment bill itself. Because it deals specifically with certain clauses. And for instance, Chatterton, they are saying that in clause 5.5a, page 3, I'm not sure whether every member has got the amendment bill.
Yes,
clause 5. Yeah. Clause 5. 5A sub 1 in page 3. They say that after regulation to insert, after consultation with the member of the executive council.
We want to check that. The minister may by regulation describe minimum minimum council standards.
Yeah, and I'll give you a background to that.
Okay, that's what
we're going to do.
After regulation,
in fact,
after consultation, the member
of the group is having. Yes, that's it. Yeah. Chapter 7, I'm going to provide a very, very brief context and background right this thing. The argument was one, education is a concurrent function. And the view that was expressed in that meeting with respect to the officials from the Department of Education was that there's a tendency where regulations are done on certain things. And subsequent to that, you find that there are serious deficiencies on the regulation, you know? Because the minister has not found some kind of concurrence, you know, with their counterparts in the province. The example was around the issue of the quintile, where, and I must place it on record, the MEC was part of that meeting. For me, it's not an issue whether he's a member of the National Education Council, Council of Educators, it's neither here nor there. Yeah? But the principle is, when you deal with these nonsense standards, okay, at least there should be concurrence with the MEC. So that the MEC is satisfied that these national nonsense standards are reflective of the unique circumstances that are prevailing in that particular province. So that was the rationale for that.
Yeah, now for me, this amendment is neither here nor there. It's just after consultation. You see, we can pull it for all I care. Well, you can consult, then consult and take a decision. See, and in any case, every regulation that was designed for comment. All regulations are designed for comment, and the MEDs can still comment on that. But I'll hear from the members what other members are saying. Because this is after consultation, really. I would have been worried if it was saying in consultation. I'll be worried. Yeah. And if it's just after consultation, it really doesn't worry much. Mm. What do other people say? Our advisor, what are you saying?
We're
agreeing. Good. So we are agreeing with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a problem. Yeah. Right?
The second one, Shepherd. The second one is in page 4, which is, they say that before recreational to insert sports and recreational.
Yeah.
In page 4, where is it closed? I think it's closed 5? 5? 8-2. Where is it? In page 4,
yeah.
Roman letter 7.
Roman letter 7?
Yes. Yeah. You read it from page 3.
Yeah.
Where it says, whatever, goes there. They say that before you speak about recreational facilities, you must also insert sports and recreational facilities.
Sports and recreational facilities. What I'm saying is, any program with that? All of them. Sports and recreation.
There are two different things. Yeah. 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 The same case of Edward, but the Department of Sports and Recreation.
Mm.
It means there is a line somewhere. And it's not image here putting sports and recreation.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an actual
I'll borrow your own way that you used yesterday in a meeting.
Mm.
Why you said that there's a glaring lack of support by the Department of Education on issues of sport facilities.
Yeah.
You raised that thing yourself. I supported you yesterday. We raised it to the DG.
Yeah.
We were in one school, remember, Slum Hill. Those kids cannot play except to play among themselves, no pulling, you know. There are no sport facilities there, no recreational facilities, no? You go to other schools, Jefferson. Let me speak about my province. The issue of sport facilities, neither there nor here, on the part of the education department. I'm speaking about the Gwagwa region, in Gwagwa, no? The schools rely on the mercy of the municipality, no? To come and do whatever, renovation of sporting facilities, sport ground. If the municipality feel like, yes, we can go and come with a scraper, né, to create whatever. Né. But education is not doing anything about that. Schools are not doing anything about that. So I'm saying this is the context, né, how this issue arose.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jen. I'm not opposed to the idea, But what I would like to know from the department is that if we add the word sports, what would the financial implications be on this particular person?
Salman?
That obviously is also a functional area which also in a different department also was shared with different departments, which also makes it more difficult. And so I think the reason why it was left open as recreational facility was that the focus is on education, that's the core business of education. But there is definitely a link to sport facilities as well. So there will be a financial implication to it, and it will be in a cooperative manner that needs to be addressed between the various departments, across education and sport as their functional area.
I don't know that the politics of government, all the department of education, doesn't say when a school is built, it has not been built together with, it must include in it, sporting facilities.
Mm.
But otherwise, when there's a budget that is meant to build a school elsewhere,
mm.
it means there must be sporting facilities within the very school premises itself.
Mm.
And if we leave that out, it means I wanted to diversify from that policy.
Mm.
We think that sports, school sports facility, not sure whether it's a responsibility of the Department of Sports and Recreation or the responsibility of the Department of Education. Not very sure. Yeah, okay, I'll come to you. Yes?
Let me say, sports are those very formal things with all the rules. Now, let's say if children go on a schedule. That is recreation. But sports can be recreation now, if you try and explain it. But now if they make school dramas and all that, that is recreation, a number of things. They do warm-up and, you know, all those things.
Yeah, but if they play soccer, if they play rugby there, if they play whatever, tennis, whatever, those are sporting facilities.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll come to you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not a legal expert, but I believe that sports and sports facilities at schools are legally the responsibility of the education department. But there is some sort of synergy with the sports ministry, for example, our province. But legally, it is the department's responsibility, provides the facility. That's how it is, at least the ground.
Thank you.
Okay. What goes about MUM, I think we're in the same hall. Memorandum of understanding.
Yeah.
Between the Department of Sports and the Department of Education. You see, because I don't buy into a notion that says, you know, in the school context, irresponsibility, the core business of education. There can be no education without recreation. There can be no education without sports. All your soccer stars, all your rugby, they started at school, it's a fact. You know, it's part of the development of a child. So chairperson, let's avoid sidestepping this issue. It's the primary function of the Department of Education.
Yeah.
This is my argument.
Yeah.
How they do it in the context of their memorandum of understanding with the sports and recreation. I think, chairperson, within the context of interdepartmental collaboration, it should be the responsibility of the Minister of Education to ensure that certain things are happening. So let's not myself that thing. No.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There is a training that goes men standard in corporal
style.
Thank you, Chair, and another member. My understanding was that the recreation also includes sports, because the recreation is a broad way, which includes all games and everything else. But if the education will be one, if it does not refer to the sport, then I would say support the idea that sports is not
I am not expecting to hear about agreeing to a situation where it will depend on somebody's interpretation. We must bring in certainty. So sports should actually be part and parcel of the whole thing. But I think there's an argument amongst ourselves,
yes,
you know, as members of the committee, that yes, we must actually be explicit and say sports and recreation.
Yes.
Good.
Agree.
The next one is Sutona.
Yes.
lecture, the second one, also in page 582, Roman letter, I mean, see Roman letter 2. Let's go to each person, because what is proposed here is that after learning to inspect and support.
9, 11, 12, 13. In respect of provision of learning and teaching support material. In respect of provision of learning and teaching support material. That's the one. So what are they saying? After learning, insert and support. Learning and support, but the support there.
In respect of provision of learning and teaching support materials, the availability of one, stationery and supply, line 13, learning material. So this is proposing that
learning and support, oh that one.
Read learning and support material.
What are you saying? In respect of provision of learning and teaching support material. There have been a good of stationery and supplies, learning material. What is learning and support? What does that mean? It is not really, I don't know. Can you get
the rationale? I think they wanted to emphasize something, but as far as I'm concerned, really, semantic, it captures. It captures, because if you read that outside context of, it says in respect of provision of learning and teaching support. Material. Learning and teaching support material. Meaning, if I had to disaggregate the two, it's learning support material and teaching support material. Yeah. So, if it is such a person, I think it's a semantic issue really. The one that went by my honored colleague, my honorable colleague, the one that went emphasize this, but I think we must allow you to hear that it is really captured here. If you read it that way, it's captured. Group to insert learner or, and before the second group to insert learner or. Let's check that line.
Page 4, yeah. In line 27.
Yeah.
25. 2, no? Subsection 3, the principal or his or her delegate may, at random, search any group of learners. The other thing?
Any learner or group of learners.
Any learner, what I'm saying, any learner or group of learners.
You're not confining them.
Yeah, for me it makes sense, what I'm saying.
Random now with a learner
it becomes, with a reasonable solution, it becomes now a target to an individual. So we better say random to refer it to a group of learners, not to a specific group.
I don't understand.
If you use the criteria of reasonable suspicion, which is linked to an individual learner, then it means that learner reasonable suspicion you can go and search and seek, and it's covered in our regulations, it's there. Any person can be search and seek in terms of the regulation. The problem you've got is that when you cannot link it to an individual, because it is uncertain who is carrying the gun, and the peer protection is hiding it from you as to who is the one who's actually carrying that dangerous object. Now you need to search the group in order to detect where you can find that object. If you link the word random to this provision and you link it to an individual based on the criteria of reasonable suspicion, you actually got a misnomer, because you cannot use the word random then. How can you, if you know that it is Ibn Yusuf carrying the gun, how can you then say it's random? Because what was the criterion to bring it to random? How do you deal with a group that you can bring in the word random? And you cannot take away the criterion of reasonable suspicion because of the complexity that leads to this provision on the constitutional principle. And it is the carrying or the protection of abuse. When it comes to a group, is that it, if you look at the ordinary meaning of random, it means without a selected order. So the protection is when you deal with a group and the search and seizure of a group at random. I cannot pick the group of Ibn Bosel every time, because then it shows there is a selectiveness in the group and it's not adhering to the word random. So the protection is that you cannot victimize a specific learner by using a group. And if it is an individual, then you have got no suspicion and you just take it out without a suspective or a selective method, then you can create a abuse, a victimization situation.
So where is it covered, where you extend to the or a teacher suspect that a learner, small learner, has any weapon politics, or that learner is actually a drug for you, he's taken drugs for you, individual learner, where is it covered?
Yeah, in the regulations, the safety regulations, it specifically provides in regulation 4 sub 3,
that's
not
fine. If it is covered elsewhere, then
I will control it. It's specifically dealing with searches out of one of any person on the premises of the school.
Okay, not fine. Then in that case, then I'm satisfied. I don't want another member of the thing. I'm satisfied. Yeah. Thank you. There's no need to call our advisor. Thank you. We. So this one is going to continue, and then the other one,
I think it's the last one. Clause 8, 7. The proposal is that line 21, you must commit required and to substitute it with subpoena.
Line 21, on page 7.
Yeah.
Line 21, the principal is not required to be a witness on behalf of the minister, member of the state council, or head of the department. Is that the one?
Yes, sir.
So where is the subpoena?
deleted.
Oh, no, that stuff is deleted. Okay, oh, yeah, fine.
It's deleted.
That's what we thought, yes.
Okay.
We have deleted. Okay. It's not going to be there anymore.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. We now send you off the free state Monday.
Yes. Maybe to read this thing, they're also raising an issue here, one that the bill doesn't tell anybody who is going to buy or how schools are going to acquire the acquisition of this drug testing. Because even in the financial implications, this is not been set up. And I think this is a fundamental point that the province is today. That may be noted by the prince, by the department. Because what they are saying is that it is something else to pass a good law. Ne? But now, to have that law effective, it's another thing. You don't pass a law, create expectations, and the law is not implemented for a year or 2 years. Ne? Because nobody bothers to budget for whatever that is happening. But it's not classified. Ne? This is creating serious financial obligations. I think the department must respond to that. It's imposing financial obligations. On the 25 million, where is the school that will buy this thing? Is the school, will there be additional amount of money that schools are provided for? Or is the department going to ensure that it buys these drug testing devices, whatever? Or are they going, nowhere it said, or are they going to use the one from Alexander, that kind of thing? I think maybe the department should respond to that. It's just a concept that the province is raising. Thank you.
Honorable Lamuno on the speech to that.
I just want to add on to what the solar thing I agree. And also bearing in mind that technology changes by the second. So what the effect that could have should we use the device.
Before the department wants to speak to that, I want to welcome the honorable member from Eastern Cape. But also report to her that we have already tackled your mandate. There are those issues that you have agreed to, there are those you have not agreed to on what you have for me mandated. Well, on what you have been mandated to do here, we will be briefed by the secretary to which one will be agreed to, which one will not be. Thank you, and welcome, all of you.
Yeah, if I may just draw the attention of the committee to page 15 of the bill, which deals with financial implications. We specifically deal with the drug testing of equipment and says these will be covered by provincial school budget allocation. But here it is in the process of providing the funding and it will be dealt with through that process.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, before I start, I want to make an attention that we made the presentation, but we are not there after we made the presentation to the committee, because they invited stakeholders, the department, to come and input on the bill itself. But anyway, I do have some concerns made by Gauteng. The first one is norms and standards in infrastructure. Their concern is around the issue of mail and mask laws. In the case of mask, the MEC will be compelled to comply with every aspect of these norms and standards, even if it has financial implications that the department might not have budgeted for, which might also result in unfunded mandates. In the case of May, as an example, it might create an opportunity for the MEC to assess and prioritize according to the budgetary allocations or constraints without neglecting adherence to the norms and standards. That's the first concern used by Gauteng.
Page 4. the concerns about the issue of male or mass, eh? If you tell the pastor, not anything of it. Other person of London has done it. So my understanding was what 55 is thinking about us. Yes? Mm-hmm.
Chapter never have said that that was also a concern in the first place.
Yeah.
But we have addressed it through that proposed clause at another level, whereby nonsense standards should actually carry, it should be after consultation with the MEC. Because we're allaying that here, Chapter. And I really don't want to get into too much detail. First, Prestige also had to take the route of housing. But the point is that whether we like it or not, in terms of policy, policy resides with the national department and will be a very, very strange country where, because of whatever financial institutions, planning and whatever, we'll have national policies that are not adhered to by anybody, because everybody says no. The financial institutions. Believe that they should be blamed. Okay? Believe that this bill might have gone through your process of Council of Education Minister, and provinces should actually be alert on some of the things. That's why we basically as a state said, no, okay, we cover by putting a clause after when minister determines this thing, because they may have financial implications, it should be after consultation with provinces. That consultation may be say, nobody is ready financially to finance this thing, okay? But we agree with this product trust and intent, okay? But now it may be implemented in cases, and this is how we are going to roll out, the funding for this kind of thing. So that it does not create an undue pressure on provinces. I'm saying that's how we cover this thing.
Yeah, no, I think, in other ways, the thing is covered. Because you see, the problem here is, you have had situations where provinces don't build, for instance, school infrastructure in the same way. There will be provinces, instead of building schools, they'll just build classrooms. And there will be provinces that build proper. So, disparities, you go to various provinces, you find that there are a lot of disparities. So, it does not address, it does not say, it means that when a new school is built, for instance, it has got to have all those facilities. When you build a new school, there are not addressed, the delicacy and all the other things can actually be addressed the day after. And what you say today, it might mean that a province might say, no, we are saying a school must have a library, must have a laboratory, must have we don't have that money, we'll build a school and all those things, which you say may. Now we don't want that kind of a situation. You see, we are saying, if you budget for a school, you are budget for a complete school. You can't budget for a half a school. You see what I'm saying? But the complete school, and if you can't build the complete school, don't build. I think that's what he's saying. Our advice.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the argument that Hussein is raising, my reading is that the argument is a bit premature, because the must and may in this context relate to the discretion of the minister to either make the norms and standards or not. It doesn't relate to what will be contained in the norms and standards, or the discretion or obligations that will be contained in the norms and standards. Because it says the minister may, by regulation, therefore the minister may decide to have or not to have regulations into the norms and standards must provide for. It doesn't say what the exact norms and standards are going to be. It just says that it has to address classrooms, electricity, water, sanitation. So the argument of whether the MEC will have to have classrooms or how many classrooms there has to be electricity will be in the norms themselves, and those arguments will then be raised at that point. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And how are you? Right. I think we step off that. If it is a concern, if it is a problem, it is then addressed by what the Free States are saying, and we have accommodated that. And therefore, this thing is not like this. Any other thing from housing?
Yeah, 7.3.
Am I getting?
7.3 is a random searching, which was raised by other provinces, that the process is not outlined in the bill, which raises concern of how the search should be done. in case of the urine testing, there is no indication whether the principal or any other teachers will have to undergo training on how to administer such a test. The bill only indicates that the minister must identify the device with which the test contemplated in subsection 8 is to be done and the procedure to be followed, and publish the name of this device and any other relevant information about it in the Gazette.
How much opponent tend to be sitting here? They are just pointing to, I'm not sure, this sitting here. I thought the bill actually indicated what you said. That's why they think, where is it? Can you read that portion? What it says, for instance, in terms of the urine testing, that what is done is a male, it has to be the substance, the male, the body is done by a male, that thing, yeah. And that what to be not in front of other learners, all those sort of things, they are indicated here. So as to what other things they want, I'm not sure.
So, person, I think how thing here is asking about the training of teachers.
Training of teachers?
Yeah.
Do you need some special training for not to search in somebody?
No.
I'm not sure.
When it comes to urine testing.
How long is the Bible saying?
Here, the measures that you put in the legislation address the principles I'm dealing with the processes in implementing it. Training is the implementation aspect which you need to find, and there is a guideline which we are sending out to the schools and to give them assistance in understanding some of the concepts and dealing with the terminology that also used there. But this is the authority under which you act. And the authority is dealing with who is dealing with it, what is the nature of it, what's the extent and scope of that specific measure, and what is the specific outcome from it. And here, this is what the court actually addressed. There's a lot of practical things and things that you will deal with as part of the implementation process, but you do not put it in the legislation as such.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think this is our specialty. So I too many teaching, that's what they want. We can't do without those teachings in the field. Right? I hope when we get back to the provinces we'll lose an appendix. Is there any other thing for function again?
Yes, the 7.4, the role of the principal. The consensus is around the issue of balancing the rights of the principal and the role he or she plays versus that of being a representative of the department. The bill does not clarify how the balance should be maintained.
We have deleted that song.
Yeah, okay.
We have deleted that song. Thank you.
No, Chairperson, the first one I omitted is the minimization of consultative bodies. The first one, you talked about minimization of...
Page four.
The first one, yeah. It says, although the bill talks about the minimization of consultative bodies when policy is determined, this doesn't completely take away the role those bodies were playing, as other forums will still exist for the same purpose.
No, I don't think it's just coming in a comment.
Okay.
It's just a comment. Okay. Thank you very much. We're taking off housing. We're now going to... What's the next one? Which is this one? Which one is this? I don't know.
No,
okay. This is Limpopo. There are no comments from Limpopo. There are no proposed amendments.
There are.
Where are you? The findings. After considering the date of that thing, the committee has... No, there are no proposed amendments.
Okay.
Do you agree there are no proposed amendments? Mm. In Limpopo, yes, sir.
Sir, there is... Thank you. Yeah.
we have to leave here at 12 o'clock. I was flying early, so can you please give Pazur and Natal an opportunity so that we can deal with them and deal with our proposal and we can leave? I'm sure for about 12.
So the Mpopo are agreeing there is no proposal from the Mpopo. And when you go to Natal? Yeah, yeah, I know you talked to Martinez about that. Can we take to come with Natal because of this challenge that they have? Let's come, where's come with Natal? Come with Natal, yeah? You got through?
Thank you, Jeff. We have been, some of our concerns have already been addressed.
Yeah,
that's you. We will do that. Thank you. Now, firstly, a clarity is required on whether the reference to counsel refers to clause one and in clause the other thing. If not, what is the difference? Just by clarity.
If I can get the issue that you would find in clause one is dealing with the policy, and it refers to the word council. Council that you would find there, and also the council that you would find in in section 6 of NEPA, which is also referring to the word council. And if you look at where you just found the word council, you must go to the definition of NEPA, which clearly states that refers to the Council of Education Ministers. In clause 3, it talks about the National Education and Training Council. That's the concept as a whole, which is a separate structure from the word council that you would find in 1 and in section 6. Of NEPA.
Thank you very much. Next.
Clause 4B. Definition of illegal drugs does not cover alcohol, since it is a lawful substance.
Alcohol is not an illegal drug.
It's a lawful substance.
Come again?
Yes. Alcohol is a lawful substance.
It is in the country. But yes, there is not one that in school, but it's I'm sure it's covered elsewhere in the regulation. It's covered elsewhere.
Alcohol has to be included since there was a concern around the use of
it.
In the regulation, it is clearly stated, and the safety regulation I'm talking about, it is clearly stated that no alcohol can be present on the school premises, and no one may use it at school break. That includes the educators, it includes the governing body members. The case already covers in that aspect. So the issue of using it as an illegal substance or a legal substance, it is interesting because if you sell it to a minor child, it's also illegal to do it because of the Liquor Act. You cannot sell it. So it depends on circumstances, but it is covered in the regulations. We've got a copy of the regulations. We can provide.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Next, that's all.
No.
Okay. Sorry, before you come in, there's a hand there.
I'm really persuaded by KZN that we must include in a definition of this act. Leave what Liquor Act says, so that we make a clear message that the alcohol in the school premises, both possession and consumption, is not allowed. I mean, we know what happened. Alcohol.
Most of the crimes that are committed by learners,
Shepherdson, they are related to after abuse of alcohol. So, I'm saying, Shepherdson, much as I respect that in the regulations is there, but I think in the context of the school, we need to make a clear statement and a clear message that alcohol is not permitted.
No, but that is a tautology, as far as I'm concerned. we are saying those regulations are school regulations.
Yes.
And these are school regulations, it means therefore that alcohol is not permitted in school.
Yeah.
So it's just that I can see, honestly.
We can see the members as they, in the amendment regulations to the Executive, which was published on 10 November 2006, and it's in regulation 4, sub 4, which reads, no educator, parent or learner, and no other person may possess or use alcohol, illegal drug or illegal substance during any school activity.
Is there any damage if we include that? I see some damage if we don't include it. Because now, even in the regulation it says alcohol or illegal drugs, why don't we simply put in also alcohol? Make it clear, sound clear enough to everybody that alcohol also is subjected.
Alcohol.
Yes, I mean down here also. It says alcohol and drugs. Why do you say drugs?
But you see here we're not defined cheap, for instance. We're not defined cigarettes. We're not defined the name of all of these things.
But it's a drug. Illegal drug.
Yeah, but it was in.
The minute alcohol is sold to an underage person, a learner, under the age of, it becomes illegal.
Yeah.
Let's hear from you, and I'll come to you.
Yeah, Chairperson, I don't think there's anything to be worried about, because the regulations are very clear. Why must we duplicate things if it's not necessary? I mean, if we are not allowed to use alcohol with educators and learners, why must we still bring it in the bill before us? It's covered in the regulations.
Are we going to
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to bring members' attention to why this definition is included in the bill. It's not in relation to the regulations as they were read, but in relation to slot 7, or inserted at 8A, which deals with the random search procedure. It's not included in the sense that the bill is saying the drug use is prohibited. It's included to define drugs for the purposes of clause 7 of the bill. Thank you, Chair.
So you record them as fully seen?
No.
Well, what I'm saying here is the honorable member was saying because illegal drugs is defined, therefore alcohol should be included. But what I'm saying is it's not defined in the context of the regulations. It's defined in the context of the random set, not prohibition of drug use.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir, I want certainty from the department. Whether you can define something in a delegated legislation which is not defined in a principal legislation. Because you've had experience for that. Principal legislation defines something, and you cannot substitute what you have not done in the for me, regulation Chairperson, as a delegated instrument, elaborate details of implementation of the principal act. So you cannot take certain responsibilities that you have not substantively dealt with in the principal instrument, and suggest and say, no, we'll deal with it in the regulation. As if a regulation is an appendix of the you know, that kind of a thing. I really want to say here around that thing, because this is, we may see this thing as light, but for me, I think it's fundamental. It's very, very fundamental. A parent, I'm talking about the case that I'm making in my own community. A parent says, my child is getting dada because he's sick, and it's for flu, you know, and this boy is having a dada all the time, And at one point, the parent was witnessing on behalf of the child, and the teacher was saying, this boy is troublesome, he's doing this kind of a thing. Now, I'm saying we need certainty from the department on this issue.
Can the department say something about it?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I hope you'll be pleased to hear my voice.
Yeah, it's too quiet.
I think you are speaking of two different things. In the bill, there's a definition of legal drug. Now, you know, define alcohol as a legal drug. It is definition. First thing, alcohol is a legal drug. So that is why alcohol is not included in the definition of illegal drug. Because it's not illegal. But now, in the regulation, it's not a definition, it's only a prohibition. That no one should drink alcohol or use alcohol at a school. So the two are different. The other one is a ban, the other one is a ban. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Also in the same clause, that is 8A, subsection 2, the use of the term, if a fair and reasonable suspicion has been established. So this is very subjective and may lead to cross challenges. Is there a way of using a different phrase?
Yes, sir.
Here we've had a number of opinions of very leading advocates on this, and we've had long sessions with the Sabre advisors also on it. It is a well recognized concept. It is the cornerstone of dealing with the right to invade and the privacy of another person must be linked to a objective criteria, and it cannot just be at the whim of persons. There must be something objective to link it to a suspicion or something tangible in order to avoid abuses. But yeah, it is a concept which came out of international examples and also well thought through during that conference.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.
Yes. So I'm happy that Mr. Mota also was differing on that one. With this thing of reasonable, it is the basis of coming up with the law. The blame was the state of mind. That's why it is taken from the reasonableness of the case. Thank you.
The delegation from one court is not speaking one voice. Very important. Okay, we move on from that one. Next one.
Okay, let's step on to the next one. I think we touched on this. Subsection 14, why can't the school day criminal charge against the learner? If principal educators have to go and testify in court, that would impact on the teaching time loss. This is a concern.
No, but if a principal has to go and testify in court, that would be, as you are saying, the teacher must know.
Yes.
Yes. So we agree that he must know. Next.
Court 8 again. Substitute 4. What is the rationale behind such a limitation being imposed on teachers? The last one is very important.
Clauses 10 and 24. If auditors are appointed, who will bear those costs?
Fadman?
This is the existing position in the South African Schools Act, where the schools bear the cost, as if the school learned that the means to deal with it, then you will appoint a person who's got a background in bookkeeping, which is approved by the NEC, and which will then perform that function of preparing financial statements on behalf of the school. Here it is existing provision. The reason why it is in this bill is because there was a change in the legislation dealing with auditors, and we just corrected that. So there's no added responsibility for cost as a result of this amendment.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Cousin Natal. We step off Cousin Natal. We come back to, I think, Mpumalanga. There's no proposal, but I'm making here. We jump off Mpumalanga. Then we go to the Northern Cape. Honorable Sri.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, after doing the briefing in the province, I conducted some hearings on the bill in the different regions and so on. And I don't know, chapter under 2.4, there's a long list of views of the public on the bill itself. I'm not too sure what I
we want the views of the committee. What are they, what mandates are they giving? What proposals are they, as a committee, are they bringing forth here for negotiation? Not what the public has said.
All right. The Portfolio Committee on Education, after due deliberations and taking note of the public input in the Portfolio Committee on Education, the committee supports the bill. The committee raised the following concerns. The principal and teacher should exercise caution when conducting the random sessions as not to violate the rights and the privacy of the children. Body searches should be conducted in the presence of suitable and qualified health practitioners. The legislature adopted this negotiating mandate. But, Chair, with your permission, I would like to hear if the department has prepared something on these views which were raised by the public, if it's possible.
I think from the last one of the things that we have to go to, what is the I thought that it would be chair on page 5, in line 18, it is prohibited. It says that you can have body search, but if it's done, it does not extend to a search of body cavities of the learner.
Somewhere I saw, I don't know where it is, body cavity, I understand that it's the rationale. But can a mouth also be found on the body cavity? So you cannot search it in the mouth, in other words. If you see that the drug in the mouth, you don't see anything about it. The drug there you see, a cheek in the mouth.
Yeah, you can notice anything, but you can't search. Search means physical touching. So you can't put your fingers in the mouth and start taking
or in his nose.
Or in his nose, or in any other body cavity.
If Leonard will know this, they will play three gods, you are going to show you. But it's all right. You will see this thing in the mouth and you can't do anything about it. You can't take that charge if you never hear it because of that. Maybe you can leave my
ear. But I don't think to take a chance if you have got something that you can see that is what the lamp is.
Yeah.
To say, open your mouth, it's not fishing. Take that what is in your mouth out. So, time says no.
What my girlfriend understands, this is dealing with random search of a group of learners. When you've got reasonable suspicion of an individual learner, the regulation gives you the right to be with it. If the suspicion is of such a nature that you can see there is dafa hidden in the mouth, then it's a reasonable suspicion to an individual. And then the normal principles in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act comes into play. And you can deal with it in terms of that processes and in terms of the regulation. Just these are a group of learners where you go into the cavity of it. If there is a lump of sticking out of the mouth, then it's a different story. But if you start feeling into the mouth and feeling into the ears and things like that, that is the type of thing where you deal with it as a group, where it can become very embarrassing to the individual. And that is why it is excluded.
Okay. Northwest? Can somebody read out Northwest one? Well,
I didn't introduce you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. I think a number of issues that you raised, some of them have already been attended to.
Yeah, I think you can concentrate on the ones that are not attended.
On plot 5A1, on the issue of nonsense standards, the concern raised there was that the funding on the nonsense standards, I think past years we have dealt with that particular issue. On 5A2A, long-term power to include the issue of transport. There was a lot of issues that was raised in terms of the learners who were in transport, particularly in rural areas. And this issue came up, but unfortunately, on the long-term power, maybe the issue of transport would be included. Yes.
What I agree. Under long-term standard, they include transport. But my fear is that scholar transport is not a national policy. It's not a national policy by now, for now. Unless you want to ask the department to help it as a national policy, and maybe also speak to a, what do you call this body? FFC. FFC. Because it's got, it's going to be funded as national. But can we hear? Yes, sir.
Thank you. My understanding is that the Department of Transport is taking over the responsibility of transport in learning. Because we have a feeling from Parliament here where we don't have the necessary budget, particularly for learning from rural areas, but we understand that the Department of Transport actually addresses that issue.
Yeah, that's a provincial arrangement. I am saying there is no national policy on this on this matter, but can we hear what members are saying? Yes,
I don't want to be aggressive. But there are certain things really that send a clear message that even after 30 years of our existence as democracy, either people who are advising politicians in provinces are either not loyal to the constitution or they don't agree with it. And I've got a problem with that. Example is this issue of race. I mean, me and you will agree that this is a provincial competence. They are not even doing it adequately. Provinces. It's a matter of fact, no? But now, you come to some other issues here, broadly speaking. Maybe I'm going to speak on what is appearing on offer. Some of the issues that are arising, you find that they question our systems of governance, my TCS system, concurrent functions. No? It's just like a person, in my view, minister is senior than the MC. The constitution is clear on that thing. Let me say that the established council of, what do you call this council? Council of Ministers. There's a specific purpose because the policy of education decides with the national minister, and to coordinate that policy is the responsibility of the national minister. No? But now, when it puts provinces at hand, the one who questions it. There's nobody here who have got any intention, slightest purpose, to take away responsibility and the obligation of MECs to account to their legislature. But when you read some of these documents, the men at their accounts, they want to equate, you know, reporting to the minister on the implementation of their national policy as meaning taking away the obligation of the MEC to report to the legislature. I don't think any person who's really straight can go to that far. So minister to say, no, MEC or if there are anything to Malanga now, you are reporting to me, you're not longer reporting to the legislature. So I'm saying, Chairperson, the issue of AMA concurrent functions, it's a big issue that we may want to debate at some point, and particularly to ensure that in provinces, both politicians and people who are supporting politicians, really understand the tone and the spirit of the constitution. What is it that was intended, when we arrived at this thing. I really don't want to speak in specific terms, but in general terms, some of these things are irritating, and they are put on record. And when I put in record to ask, I want to know, was he born in South Africa yesterday or whatever, because this thing has been there for 30 years, and this is how it has been going. So I really feel that I must make this comment on on record. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think this question of concurrence is a bit unchallenged. No problem. I was asking the other time, what leverage does a national minister have if a province, for instance, does not implement a national policy? What leverage does a national minister have to see to it that that policy is actually implemented? Because the funds that are there are appropriated in the province fair. They don't come from the national ministry. They go directly there. And therefore the minister can't say, hey, you've got to. What leverage, for instance, if the province give education less than what he's supposed to get? What can the national minister do? For now, the problem. So now I agree that at some stage we'll revisit some of these things and be able to discuss and see what is it that can be done, you know? Fine. I think we've got a department outside here with you. Where are we now? We are on Northwest, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
One random and interesting thing that the Department of the Day Office also includes counseling of learners and also the training of educators and things that will be doing. We're very good at that.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
There's an Adopt a Cop program that is being done, I think, by the Department of the Equal Bread, whether we could agree to have that program changed with the Equal Bread for schools have adopted COP as part of it.
Do you want to link the two?
No.
They must remain the link, eh?
Yeah.
Let them remain the link. Thank you. Yes? But
in the bill, you can clearly describe the role of the South African police service.
The role of?
The role of South African police service. But what's in relation to what in the conversation?
The role of the South African police service, they only come in when the principal of whoever goes there, submits a drive or a weapon or whatever, that's when they come in. But in terms of in the school yard, it's the responsibility of the school to do the fetch, to do the testing inside the school premises. That's how that's the relationship.
One issue also was raised was the issue of educators, because the jail only raised the issue of learners in terms of searching, and the issue was raised was about the educators themselves.
Can you appreciate that I'm sure that you say it? Very nice. But you said it's a big level of fish, not the root of the church. I don't know, I mean, that's one of our teachers, say you are teachers. You hear from me, I don't know. No, no.
Chairman, when I was in contact, I was going to support us. You see, Chairman, we don't craft legislation in a vacuum. We craft legislation to address a particular problem. It's true that sometimes teachers have problems themselves, they carry knives, they go drunk at school, they carry drugs. But I think we are dealing with that thing separately. We are dealing with the environment of bedrock of the children, learners, children. You see, let's not complicate chapters. You have a teacher, chapter 7. You have been raised everywhere. It's illegitimate.
Yeah.
But let's find a way of addressing it anyway. Because this thing will cause a problem. You see, these learners, the way our democracy, I think the leader was pressed to say, well, over ambition with some of the provisions we have in our below price. No? Because our learners know their rights. No? Immediately you start to put that thing there, these learners will say, no, like he said, they also demand to send the teacher. And I think that is a recipe for anarchy. If somebody understands the mindset of learners in school, in the school environment, how it is, I think we must be very cautious about those things. We must be very, very cautious. I know Kota can demand that. Kota Saya is a tradition here, but they can demand that thing. That thing, they must also have society speakers. And that is anarchist. I don't think they can allow that.
No, no, we can't allow that. Is it okay?
Thanks, you know, I was going to add that maybe the South African Council of Educators also accommodate what an educator should do or how the educator should behave in a particular manner. So I'm saying that they are also experts governed, the educators themselves.
Yeah, you're right. Well, that is the regulatory body for educators. And therefore, whatever program they need to be sorted out at that level. Thank you. Any other thing?
The other issue that was raised was the issue of the concept of the learner when the university has been going to perform. Whether one has any problem in terms of transportation.
I think one of them was the consent, not going to raise the whole question of the consent of the learner. This group of learners, as recently was a fishing that they might have taken back, now you want to test their urine, whatever, one or whatever. Do you need consent of the learner? Of
course. Can you explain what does that mean?
The argument of the learner. Can you please take your
okay. Yes, that will be the most liberal interpretation of the Bill of Rights. You see, people forget, when there's a limitation on the rights of everybody. Police only have got reasonable suspicion in the commercial law, and they get a warrant of arrest. Warrant of arrest is not given because they say, there's evidence that you have done that. They come and say, they don't fight, and you can't do anything. So I think people must understand that if there's a reasonable suspicion, there are circumstances that indicate that your right becomes limited. So that will be my response on that.
Can you hear you?
No, it's not a different view, Jefferson. It's the view that says you cannot, in a situation where now one is a suspect and you try to want that person to agree to be said, that person is ready to refuse. So I don't think we need to go that route, because really, it's the safety of the youth of the learners at school that is at stake here. Maybe that's why I said it needs to be explained whether the learner wants to be said. Well, if the environment where the learner decides is not correct and okay, I think the learner would say, well, I don't think this is a good place to fetch me. I'll agree if we go to a confined area with the kind of procedures that are laid out there. So that's all I said.
Thank you very much. Any other thing?
The
dog.
The issue of the body can be testimony.
That's what I said.
And also, I think the issue of provision of smaller school teachers or smaller, I think they said that there's a good provision for that. What I can raise is that there was the issue of the financial implications of provision. If they are to agree to the norms that set up by the master.
I thought that was also responded to by Mr. Bosch of KDL. We'll step off Northwest. What's your name? Yes, sir.
Chairperson, on F, Chairperson, can you respond to Northwest?
F?
Yeah.
So 10, section 23.
On Northwest?
Yeah, that's the one.
And I advise our colleagues that it is the duty of the MEC and the legislature to budget those things. Can't talk to the minister. It's not minister function. Budget for the minister. It's the same issue we've got here. Whose role is used in dealing with this issue? Minister has asked the police. Because, let's say you go, say this thing. I'm saying this thing out of experience. Provinces sound like a blackmail. They say, no, we can't do this thing because we don't have money. They want the minister to do what is unconstitutional. Minister cannot give their money to that. Their budget, unless it's a conditional grant, their budget is from the legislation. Eh? Now, we must go. I think we must remind provinces that on some of these things, they must go to the legislature and ask the treasurer. And they must not tell us to tell the treasurer. I don't see how we can go to Honorable Manuel and say, give the money, give the money for provinces for this and this and this. I mean, this is the point I'm raising, because I'm saying, from time to time, we must remind ourselves who's the role of whom in this scheme of things, of our multi-tier system of government.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. And the problem is about their own plan, which they have according to the way they want to cut it. And the provincial department must go there and put their case and say, these are our responsibilities. And based on this responsibility, we think we want so much. And act in a case then, for the bigger case. Thank you. What's the case?
I think we've dealt with all the issues of the Western Cape. The Western Cape supports the bill, but they have the following concerns. And the first one has been the immediate principles of being able to give evidence against the state. That section has been deleted. The need for NECC to exist and be a mandatory consultant for them. We discussed that as when we discussed the Western Cape. And but I don't know what they mean that a list of underperforming schools should not be placed in the annual report. I do not know if they do not want others to know which schools are underperforming. This can be a very serious issue. Perhaps it is good to include them so that the department at least can pinpoint the reason why these schools are underperforming. Perhaps they are short of resources, learning materials, I do not know. There might be a valid reason why this is included. But unfortunately, you know how busy we were. I could not be present. There was no way for me to be present at the meeting on the 13th. So I'm not clear on why they want this. I don't know if this state law is
I think the bill is very clear on about how this progress of underperforming schools should actually be handled. The school must write back to the NEC or to the head of the department to say these are the issues that they're going to do in order to improve, blah, blah, blah. You know, there are, I think it's time. Nobody comes to question. You know? That is the one thing. I think we have dealt with all the money. And this is how we're going to be dealing with money from now on. And what should now happen is that we must write back to the provinces and give them the responses as agreed upon here on all the issues that we raise. They must get them before they give us their final money. And by the way, the final money is submitted next week. Those issues must go, you have written every month, everything is for this. Yes, but we must press that, collect that, tell them the promises today, so that next week they are able to give us their final money. If we have to pass this bill before the end of the fire, before Parliament doesn't mind on the 26th. Thank you very much, Mr. Department. Please do advise. Our advice. Thank you ever so much. But there's a comment from Honorable Suleiman here.
Yeah. You will recall that we have just passed the mandatory procedure for yesterday in the One House. And if one looks at the mandate from KZN used to send us proper mandate in the past. I don't know what happened this time around. It is not even on a proper letter. So I thought, let me raise it in the presence of the delegation so that what will happen again.
And the most provinces will now get the bill in the NA. When it is passed by the NA, they must acquaint themselves with the content of that bill so that we get uniform mandate from now on. It will help us a lot. Thank you very much. Goodbye, Department of Education. The rest, we still have a lot of people coming in now here. If we could just stretch for 2 minutes. Stretch for 2 minutes. Okay. As officials here from the Department of Science and Technology, we will be dealing with the two bills that we discussed last time. I must say that we would have finalized this bill in the committee last week. We'll be following. But it does look like there was some communication breakdown. We thought that when we talked in the meeting in this very place, that when we said the next week we are going to be dealing with this bill to finalize them, you understood that it was an invitation already to come to a meeting. Like this time you were waiting for a formal invitation. I didn't know that you were so much of formality. Department of Science and Technology. But the reason is me, we could not finalize on that particular day because we did not come, but we ourselves had a meeting where we informally deliberated especially on the human science research cancer bill. We are therefore going to start with the human science research cancer bill so that we quickly finish it because it's not a complicated bill. And then thereafter we step on the astronomy geographic advantage bill. Is there no economy now? The procedure that we are going to be following today here is we are going to try to go through this bill song by song. But before we do that, we want to inform you and hear your comments on the proposed amendment. The proposed amendments by the committee are, for instance, on page 4 of the bill, in line 42, we want to omit the word in, that it was in consultation, as you remember. After, so that it now becomes after consultation. The second amendment, on page 4942, to amend the way National Assembly and to substitute Parliament. Number 3, on page 4, in line 43, after, as we said, at least, after what? At least two national newspapers. At least two national newspapers. On page 4, I mean, as amendment number 4, as proposed by us. On page 5, in 1981, to meet the way the National Assembly and the substitute Parliament. Those are the proposals from this committee. We are not hearing from, I mean, we are the ones who actually make the law. But we don't want to hear your comments. Doesn't follow that we want to take what you are saying, but we actually accept it. We just know what you feel about the decision. The final way is with us. Thank you.
Thank you,
Stephen.
Honorable members of the committee, amendments that are being recommended are very welcomed by the Department of Science and Technology, particularly the one related to the processes by which the awards will be approved. And that is after consultation with the Parliament.
Thank you very much. You will remember that this is a Section 75 bill. And because of the Section 75 bill, we propose this amendment, it will go back to the National Assembly. And if the National Assembly does not agree with us, they will pass this bill with just a simple majority, original one, simple majority. And if they agree with us, they will then pass it to the amendment. I'm just sensitizing. That's exactly the situation. Honorable Stoner?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think that over the last 3 years, one of the tasks that Parliament was to review how we have been doing it in line with the mandate of the Constitution. And one of the things that the Chairperson agreed with me about was that much as the NCP has been demanding and calling some of the votes, Chasanan and other legislation votes to appear for me, but in actual fact, both in terms of the Constitution and the law that establishes those particular votes, does not require those votes to report to the NCP. Thinking to our sister, our own sister. And subsequent to that, remember that there was a very voluminous document which was even specifying some of the bodies that we were talking about outside your normal department of government. You say these are the number of bodies and these are the specific legislative instruments that are submission to bodies. And what are these bodies doing? So, in that light, Chairperson, I really don't want to undermine the decisions that have been taken by that which, but I'm very much uncomfortable that you may want to get there to a situation whereby we demand to participate in the appointment of some of these votes, which we are not supposed to. It's not our mandate, it's not our constitutional mandate. Council, I don't know the principal head, what I mean. But most of the legislation chapter that talks about this board, standard, they are appointed, minister appointed in conjunction with the national assembly. And I don't want to talk about other examples that were nasty and were in the public domain, the Incasa issue, the NCOP and the NCOP. I don't want to talk about this. I'm sure I can say you remember. You remember. Dating back from the committee when it was held by Kenyan, you remember when you went for mediation. So, I'm not sure I can answer, but I'm a little bit uncomfortable that we are going back, we are dating back to demand that you must also participate in the appointment of this body. It is not sufficient that National Assembly has a directly elected body that represents the people of South Africa, and ourselves as a body that represents provinces. We discuss that thing. It does not make us mean, does not make us little. You know, I'm not sure that's really the thing for members to. But we then demand that thing. And I don't think it's all going well. It is what we are supposed to be doing here for a country. A country is the fact that some interests and voices are articulated in the national field. And this is an exclusive national position. That's why I'm concerned. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe I did not make myself clear. I'm not sure if there's anywhere where we are demanding to appoint anybody. We're not demanding anything about this. As I said, maybe we are something to able to make ourselves clear. In Trump 1, what we are saying, the bill was saying as it came from the National Assembly, it is saying that the board must be appointed in consultation with the portfolio committee. I mean, with the National Assembly. Now, we are saying that the many boards that we actually, the field where they were bought, you know, that were passed in Parliament, it has always been after consultation. It has always been after, that's what I mean. It has always been after consultation and not in consultation, because it's our view that once it is in consultation, it means you can consult the same thing. You see, if nobody agrees, then it means that board will never be appointed. That's what our view. We are saying that the minister must listen to whoever, you know, the National Assembly or the NCO, because they never agree, but this is not a chapter 9 institution. Unless I'm proved wrong. If the H, is the human side of that cancer a chapter 9 institution, our advisor. Not a chapter 9 institution. Okay, take no advice. It's a chapter 9 institution.
No.
Not a chapter 9 institution. But I know, and as I saw in the constitution, that all the chapter 9 institutions are actually accountable to the National Assembly. They are not accountable to the SDOP. Chapter 9 institution. But this one is not a chapter 9 institution. And therefore, that's why we are saying it must be after consultation. Not in consultation. After consultation, with the parliament, they say with parliament, because they were saying, I'll come back to you. Because they were saying, in consultation with the National Assembly. We say, it's just going to the whole parliament. Why did you say the National Assembly alone? I think that is the essence. The whole thing, and then the other one, no, you're not discussing the other one. Those are the first two, I think, other ones. That is the speaking. And I'm saying, I don't know if I've made myself clear enough. Just want to say.
I never wrote chapter 9. My point was quite simple. And even the document that I'm using, I think the commission will have started to give us a database of bodies that are supposed to involve Parliament, and the institutions that are establishing those bodies. And what was the rationale? You know, where other bodies said, in no uncertain terms. That's why I concluded my point by saying maybe we need to establish, in terms of the legislative mandate of the HRSE, that is said now, yeah? If it's reporting to Parliament, go to houses for the reporting to National Assembly, yeah? The point I'm saying, Chairperson, is that if it is reported to the National Assembly, like other bodies, not, I'm not talking about Chapter 9, there are many bodies, he said there are more than the department in number. Where deliberately he said report to the National Assembly. And I'm saying if you say report to the National Assembly, then we don't have to bother ourselves participating in the assumption. We don't have that black level of 52 members, you know, to participate in those things. But all everything that you said, I agree with you, that it should be after consultation, not in consultation. So this is the point. Maybe we need to have a sense how are they reporting. Because I'm afraid, Chairperson, that these are exclusive national committees, you know? And we must really be careful, you know? What is the role of the National Assembly as stipulated in the Constitution? And what is the role of the National Council of Government? I don't want to say some examples, Chairperson, that I can refer to. They are from 2000. They are very nice, and I really don't want to add on their basis. But some of the issues, we went to a point of mediation between the two houses when we were dealing with this issue. You might remember the Fenyani issue and Netcheckan issue, remember, on communication. That's why they were from China. More of a political and a legal issue. So, can we be told what are the experts in terms of the report of the human health?
Let's hear from the state advisor that our advisor. Unfortunately, there is no egg. This egg that we are dealing with here, we feel that whole egg. We can feel that whole egg. It establishes the human science and health culture afresh. It's not an amendment, that is a thing. It's a new key altogether. And once it is passed, the old one is not going to exist. That's how it is. Can somebody talk to this matter? Our advisor.
Then you actually say
this is actually a social system, the competency is from the national, on the national system, on the national government level, then we not, should not then extend to the formula for them. But I also conclude that the lady has asked that we know about the constraints of the community, but it's actually not a competency of the community.
Remember, we're trying to deal with the entropy. I really hear what you're saying. You are then saying that maybe in terms of the appointment of the board, it must not be in after consultation with parliament, but be after consultation with the national team.
Yes.
And it therefore means that even when a member is dismissed, that can be done in
It won't do us any harm if we say that the NA must perform the board of the consultation of the minority. That won't do us any harm. But I want to make a firm proposal, to say that on our proposed amendment, let us agree with number one, and number three, and let's delete number two and number four.
Is that right, honourable member?
I was quite correct that the establishment of this particular council is not really it's not part of the Constitution. Can we? I need the advice. Is this the regulation in the science of the new department that is covering the new science of state company? Is it a white paper, green paper, yellow paper that says this council must be there? Somehow this must emanate from somewhere. There's no way that a council or a body can actually be on its own, because there are certain aspects that the constitution would say, you know, an act will have to be, like in your local government where it talks about your property rate, to say, you know, reasonable act will be put by the relevant department to put this particular law in place. So I'm trying to take a decision like this. I don't want us to take a decision that at the end of the day, even if the human science research center has not been reported to the NCOP, if we take a cue from there, are we correcting certain something? Because I want to bring this issue of Parliament, which I want to emphasize that as much as it's a national constituency, it does not mean that the NCOP does not have those particular competencies to deal with this matters. We do. It does that, and I want to emphasize, it does that we have another leg. And that leg is to put the interest of the provinces into the national sphere and say, well, this affects provinces and, you know, this is how we need to do it. So, Jefferson, before we really conclusively say we're moving parliament, I want the legal advisor to say to us, this is established in terms of these, because now it looks like it's something that is coming from the vacuum, from the air, and which to me, I'm not really sure, I may be wrong, but I think it is coming from somewhere, that there shall be this kind of a body that would do help the country do research on a number of fronts, social and otherwise, and I think it's more of those areas. So, Chairperson, I don't want us to rush into saying let's remove 187. Once we've exhausted all other means of establishing this area, then we'll say we are comfortable that the National Assembly should remain or Parliament should remain. I think that's a tricky point for me.
Let me allow it to do that, then I'll come to power. Chairperson,
I'll be very simple. Using the language of popular language of 8 and sensible female. That says, don't try to be more than you can chew. Keeping was not a government problem, just to ourselves. Secondly, to government. Because I don't understand. How are you going to deal with mutation? Because the constitution is clear, there's no mutation. You're telling yourself, no, no, no. I'm addressing these people with government. Where and then we then participate in the process? And having participated in one for and so, I don't know criteria that they should be used. Then Mamo Vilakas will come and say, because KwaZulu-Natal is the Zulu, see those human people who are nominated as no Zulu. I'm just taking an example. Maybe I'm from, see, I don't know criteria, maybe I'm looking at this
individual.
Make examples,
but
don't vulgarize. I'm not vulgarizing, but these are the common things. Maybe I'll say, but there's no one. He says, or Sutu, he's going to say that kind of thing. But when everything is said and done, there's no mediation provision in terms of exclusive national competency in Parliament. An exclusive national competency and the power of the MPs. Are we not creating problems, political and governance problems for the minister? Where the minister has a view of the national identity, and in case, I'm saying in particular, where there's a defensive view that comes from the NCOP on the board itself. Okay? Mm. But now, which one will the minister take? What criteria is the minister going to take to determine? And then I don't want to use other examples where it is right. Competing interests where there are joint jurisdictions between the two of them. When they get defeated on these things, they are not carried by the NPA. They can't. And I'm not only speaking about lobbies. The department. If NA doesn't, he's not satisfied with the certain things that, you know, NA has done, eh? And they think things wrongly, they come to them to appear. Just say, it's normal, it's in the remaining. So I'm saying, Chairman, the ministry has got serious, you must really look deep into it. They've got serious political and governance problems, yeah, for the minister. What chance are we going to use? To the minister, I'm saying here, Suleiman, I'm reminding you about mediation between the Nyani and Netgekan on the SACD board, South African Broadcasting Corporation board, you know? And it's become clear, although there was a compromise, that this is none of our function as the SOP. You see, because the minister has submitted this committee to the SOP and the right to give, saying, no, this is how we see. And let's say that it's for Puno Commissioner saying this. And we have to ask, to pause and ask a question. Are we asking these things for the people of God? Is this the appropriate way out? Now, I'm saying, are we not going to repeat that thing? If we want to also be participants, you know? I raise my case, Chairperson, I won't argue.
No, I think I hear your fears, but you see, that is just the point. We don't want the minister to wear foolish in anything.
Yeah.
You know, we say the minister must consult with whoever and thereafter take a decision. That's not what we're here.
Mm-hmm.
But let's hear from him.
On the issue of the constitution and where the sign comes from, that in the federation of the constitution, that is not. It's a legislative body. It's a legislative terms of the legislation that's just going to be. There's no way in the constitution where the constitution provides that such a body should be established. The executive sees the need
professor wanted to be a judge, and therefore they have asked Parliament to write that the piece of legislation is a public domain. It's not constitutional. As to Parliament and the National Assembly, it's really not a legal issue. It is a policy decision that the committee has to take. As was said earlier by my two colleagues from the department and from the Office of the Chief Supervisor, it's neither here nor there whether if the department is prepared to come to the NGOs for such a matter, especially if it's after consultation. The NA can say what they want to say, and the NGOs can say what they want to say, and the department can do, or the minister rather, can do choose to ignore both the NA and the NGOs for this after consultation. There does not need to be agreement between the parties that are being consulted. It's really to say, okay, we hear your views, but we prefer it this way. The situation that Mrs. Jonah is referring to, if it's after, such a situation will not come about, because the minister, at the end of the day, makes the decision. The minister decides who is going to be on the council. He will listen to the parliament, but still decides which way he wants to go.
Thank you. I think that's not really good of time. Let's hear the wisdom of the department.
Thank you, Chief. We agree with the advice or the comments that the committee advisor has given, in that it's not an agency or an organ of state that is required to be set up in terms of the Constitution. What this particular body, as well as the NRF and others, is a matter of the minister exercising his executive function in setting up an agency to promote research in a particular field and the building of research capacity. So if we see this body in that light, the minister exercising the responsibilities and setting up these agencies. And then what we recognize is that generally, the impact of the work that these organizations do plays out nationally, but in provinces at the same time. Mm-hmm. Provinces are affected by the impact of this work. And so when you look at the precedent that has been set already, we have the NRF Act, which accommodates that the board will be appointed after consultation with Parliament, not assisting it to the National Assembly. So I think we've got to have a good balance of what is legally, technically, the requirement, but what has been the practice in recognizing the value of the work of these agencies and so on. So this is why the department was quite comfortable when the recommendation was put that we restructure it so that it says after consultation with Parliament. We recognize that technically, it should be after consultation with the National Assembly, but we allow for, with Parliament, to be recognized the value of coming to the NCLP with what we have. I do believe my colleagues, our legal advisor, is supportive of that. With your permission.
No, I think you must understand that. Even if we're saying after consultation to the NA, it does not suggest that the NGOP cannot call, for instance, human science to the research council. It does not suggest that. You can still call it and say, look, what is it that you are doing? You know? You can still do it. The only point is that we cannot call, according to the Constitution, Chapter 9 Institution. This is categorically clear in the institution that these bodies are accountable to the NA, to the National Assembly. Nobody says, does not say anything. But any other body, any other, can be accountable to the board. And I'm very tired, really. I'm not married to any particular view, but I'll be guided by you all of them. Yes.
On the basis of what has sort of been put on the table, your mic doesn't affect mine. I thought because you are at the head of the table. Jefferson, I do not want to see the house that I'm selling in being looked down upon. I am part of Parliament. And I want this to reach Parliament. And so that, you see, as and when we, as NCOP, would want, I mean, we haven't called since I was here, we haven't called the Human Rights Defense Council to come and appear before us. It doesn't mean we won't. But once you have National Assembly, technically, they may say, well, sorry, we can't come. We only come to the National Assembly. Well, that's what I see here, just that somebody is teaching me next to me. So, I'm saying that now, well, the minister, because it's the minister's initiative to have this meeting in place, and the consultation process has been put in place after consultation. The minister is not obliged in terms of the appointment of the board to consult with the NCOP. I mean, the minister can deal with the NA, that's Parliament, it rests there. But I want to say it's got a situation where these members are not really married to the Human Rights Council in terms of their employment opportunities. They're likely going to leave. We are talking to them now. They're the ones that are listening and they're hearing. Down the line, other people have to come and interpret it, and technically the interpretation will mean, yeah, National Assembly, so no matter country for Chile and COP. So I prefer it to play to remain Parliament, so that now we don't have problems of, really, I mean, they do a good job, we never ask them to come, which we'll do. But Jefferson, I am of the feeling that we need to leave it as Parliament to safeguard this house.
I hear what you're saying, but I also hear about you say, when would you take about you from the status school? What does the status school mean? The fervent human Bible Church Council. Where does it go? And what does it say in terms of this establishment? The fervent. Does somebody else want to? Well, there's this one that was established, I don't know, 1882 of us. 1962 of us.
1968.
Yeah, just better.
Hey, I'm not sure if I'm responding to what you're asking, but from the initial session, I just wanted to draw the attention to some clause 2, which says the Human Rights Defense Council established by section 2 of the Human Rights Defense Act. Act number 22 of 1968 constitutes this religious expression that does not depend on the repeal of the Act of 1868. Which means still coming from the vaccine.
Yeah, but I also wanted to tell me as to where, I mean, in terms of the board, is that the board, is it the council? Is that the council? Yeah? That council. Was it accountable to the NA of the Parliament? What was it? How was it?
We
pointed this out to the committee that this is section 75. We know it's section 75. You know,
yes.
I think there's some section 75. This committee does deal with section 75.
Yes.
It does deal with it.
Yes.
I said 100%. So I am saying, we need to know as to whether the previous council, or the council that is there now, whether it's accountable to the NA only or to Parliament generally.
The Parliament of South Africa, before 1994, was fundamentally confused. Even if it was the country, it was fundamentally different what is the current
system.
And we must also understand the transition that was 1992, from 1994 to 1996. 1994 to 1996, the transition was more, to an extent, with the old system, of the Senate. Mm-hmm. Where the Senate core functions and power, we're not the same as the institution. Okay? They have the right to review, blah, 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 those kinds of things. No? But here, there's a specific question that we need to talk about. No? And I really need to what another member said. And I was interested in certain things about that. I think this is my right position. He told me that to say you are being diminished by the institution of the I think by two labors, never saw the national agenda. And that time they've got something to do or got nothing to do. And my parents don't ask me why are you not doing it. They were in parliament, but parliament is constituted by two houses. I'm not trying to tell that. I don't want to repeat my time. They are doing different aspects of parliamentary work and doing different aspects of parliamentary work. That does not make me junior to a member of the national agenda. We all do it. But the fundamental point I'm saying, Chairperson, is politics and less than politics. Parliament generates public income, not out of order. It's something else to say, the minister will give him income tax and say, minister will take his own discretion. You see, we must need to do some argument seriously. I don't want to make better. But I have proposed to make that example. Can I say this court is used of public domain about the integrity board now? What happened? People forgot, no, but this is the power of the minister. You are simply making less. It's in the public domain. No longer I know the minister got the power. People are no longer expecting that. You see, I'm saying you must not use arguments. But for me, it's not that. For me, it's about the needs of the institution, what is that the institution do, and what is it that it should avoid means, which is not its core business and core function. And I'm saying, even in those bodies, which legislation specifically says, they are not a healthy parliament, and to see terms of the constitution, I don't know which section of the constitution, 68, what is the reasonable core, next? On any issue before that particular vote, that has got, that has to be provincial interest. There's nothing that is good there, so people from calling those bodies and come and give the report and go whatever. So I'm saying that this is a cover in the constitution. But however, I will not give a majority. But I would really caution that we must not demand more work. And when that more work is getting us out, we say, no, we are 54, and these people are 400 and therefore cannot do. When we have consciously demanded that, how do I explain my problem? Deliberating, I don't think within parliament, it's your respect, I've got competency to deal with some of the things. I don't know how to test the criteria of a person who should sit in the, I don't think parliament, let me not make it myself, I've got capacity to do this. So I'm saying that the issue of mis-excellence is fundamental challenge. To parliament in general, and more specifically to the National Council of Government. And that's how I'm doing it. It's got nothing to do with junior or senior. There are two houses of parliament, Mosenneke Commission, report, not on the Senate. But in terms of principles, it clearly says the two houses are equal, okay? Health, jurisdiction, that your counterpart in the NA, you are remunerated to part. So, that will be my argument, but I'm saying we must not be trouble, Chairperson. After we have passed this thing, then we should come. How do we deal with it? Because it's only unlikely that Chairperson and everybody will agree on this thing. On advising the minister. We are saying advising. It's a nice word, advising the minister. People feel strong about their views and they go public about them and all that. It's like two ministers who say, no, don't listen to parliament and all that. I'm sitting here and I'm strongly guided by experience and my own reading of the constitution and the practice of the other bodies. That's not necessarily a matter of mine. I can mention many of them. Like a so, I was saying maybe for us, Chairperson, concentrate on what you are doing. Let's do the right thing. That can be measured. This is the right provincial future. Let's have it. You can measure it, you can smell it, you can sense it, and all this. That's the point I'm arguing for.
Thank you. I really think we cannot argue this thing indefinitely.
Yes.
Indefinitely. You still want to say something?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. What I happened to bring to the attention of the committee that a bill is held according to its peace and justice, whether it is 75 or 76. It depends on the subject matter that is being dealt with on that bill. So, what the my advice in a subject say that it will be safer if you say parliament, because then whatever comes, it will be a subject matter, whether it is dealt with it has exclusive jurisdiction with the NA, or it has also includes the provinces. It will be determined by the taking of whatever problem is raised. Thank you.
Okay, I mentioned that
Mr.
I didn't think it was a big deal, but after the point raised, I know this is not my area, this is committee. After the point raised, I don't think that committee was looking at this in my mind to play. But they were just thinking, even if things were not part of this position. But seeing that since it's tough and debated here, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't call the council if the end solution. I still think the commission may decide. I'm skeptical of the honorable member's comments, but I think if the commission decides it either way, it's not really. I don't think the issue will be undermined.
After all these things, I'll actually, yes.
We can write parliament and leave it there. The national assembly decides what I'm going to do with parliament. We'll debate it endlessly, but the final point is that the final decision will be taken by the national assembly.
We agree. So which one do you like? Parliament or national assembly?
Parliament.
Okay, fine. We will take that. So, it's all right. Now, I think what we need to do then, and we don't know if it will be there as a proposed amendment. What we'll do now, we'll have to go through the bill clause by clause, if it is wonderful. But before that, I'm going to read the motion of desirability. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to provide for the promotion of research in the field of human science in order to improve understanding of social conditions and the process of social change. To provide for the continued existence of the Human Science Research Council and to provide for methods connected therewith. That the bill is set to the committee be taken as a basis for discussion. And then, we will now go back to the bill. And page 1, bill, anything on page 1? Page 2? Page 3? Page 4? With amendment. Page 5? As amended. Page 6? 7? 8? Yeah, I'm putting the whole page, all the sources on the page. I'm putting all the sources on the page. We will go back to the time. Page 9?
Agreed.
So the bill is agreed to with the amendment. Thank you. The report of the committee. And the Select Committee on Education and Recreation considered the subject of the Human Science Health Council Bill, B16B07, referred to it and certified and as a Section 25 bill, report the bill with the proposed amendment. Can I sign the report? Honourable Member? I agree. Looks like you're tired. No, no, no. Thank you. We step off that bill. We go to the other bill. I'm not sure. You see, there's this thing talking here. I'm not sure if we really want to go through this thing talking here. With the time that is left, we have to come. Then we're taking it. Finally, for another meeting in the afternoon. We cannot therefore say we are postponing for the afternoon. We can't. Can we, I hope members will be able to read this document before we go to the house. Can the department just once again recheck? Just recheck. Because I don't think we should be going through this document one time. It's going to appear as a whole. Just recheck. Because in the far as I remember, doesn't look like this anything. Okay, but can you recheck? On the astronomy of government, because last time when we came here, the day after I personally said and read the whole bill, section by section, I didn't really think there was anything from religion here. But I don't know, eh? If there is, we will raise it here. I don't see anything. Can the department do
that? Okay, thank you, sir. Just one thing in your guidance. We thought we would also reiterate the process today, so just needing your guidance as to whether that will still be necessary or not. Other than that, we have prepared this presentation, but as you have asked, we were going to give you like a brief summary of this, if we could come to the place. So like, I'll ask my colleague, then the professor, to just maybe summarize the salient aspects of this bill, since we are not going to go through this presentation as it has been here. So.
Given the amount of time left, I'm not sure how brief I can be.
Very brief. There's a suggestion here that maybe we deal with areas of concern in the right level of concern. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Chair's permission. In that case, I'm not going to go through the presentation. Or rather, there are a few aspects that I thought we need to look at. And we get to about 3 seconds. That we've got maybe a little changes. And that would be on section 18, subsection.
Section 18?
Yes, sir. Subsection. And that would be line
35. Yes.
Yeah. And two, just after co-management agreement, it seems to me. And during our consultation with stakeholders, they actually agreed that it must agree to must. Otherwise, it is discretionary. I don't know whether or not we need to record this. But then, notoriously, it becomes difficult for members of the public to know that the key special position is. In turn, maybe work on the correct way before, as if it's required to reach what changes we want to be incorporated in the The next one is on section 21.
And for that, you are saying you still have to rework this.
Yes, sir, to read math.
Well, or just to read math. That's the only thing.
Yes.
Okay.
The second one would be section 21.2. On line 34. Also during our discussion with the stakeholders, this aspect had been was overflight over certain area. And we had agreed that if we are to prohibit flying over certain areas, the EAA needs to be involved because it's their area of competence. So we suggested that we can use some names and then and they can do the concurrence of the EAA. This is the only indication that we want to be said that this is what we have agreed to. During our consultation with the stakeholders, but for some reason we never get captured in the brief.
We said the minister name and with concurrence. Can you put it correctly?
Minister Mann?
No, you say no, it's just the name.
But it's me then.
The minister may with the concurrence of the couple. Of the Civil Aviation Authority by not teaching the government guidance. The last one shall be on session 51.4. One aspect that was definitely be on line 39 shell. That's before the last I got?
Line 39.
During our discussion with some of the stakeholders, they said like we are actually holding people liable on the basis of strict liability. We are not really checking whether or not they must have contravened the regulations. As long as it is contrary to the law, not including the fact that you do not even know of the existence of such a law, you will still be found guilty. So we are saying you cannot have a guilty for any contravening the law negligently. You must have intended to break the law. We saw that the decision was shared. Where it says, on the session from the law by 59, after Hansen ruled,
I hear what you are saying. Is that the convention? I mean, conventional is that how we let people put things. The law was broken. I've always heard, I'm not a big person. That ignorance is not an excuse.
Yeah.
I see a hand here, Honorable Sura.
I just want to ask a question. This sounds very simple. That's not the duty of officers deciding in court to determine based on the evidence whether they have done something intentionally or not.
Yeah.
It depends on whether it's a common law offense or whether it's a statutory offense. To create an offense, you must state the type of liability that is required and the type of fault that is required in order for you to be found guilty. And our fault is can be in two ways, either negligence or intentional. Now, you have to know whether or not you have been found guilty because you have been negligent or intentional. But generally, through if it is a common law of things, then you will be saved. You will not have to say the type of fault that is required for you to be found guilty. Generally, you are also saying ignorance of the law is not an excuse. It's actually not a solution. There are instances where it
notice of the law could amount to even in the case to pay for the rest.
Okay.
Chairperson, I would want to check with the department on your, where is that section that you're dealing with in terms of fly, overfly? Yes, section 21, subsection 2, where you're talking about the minister may, with concurrence of CAA by noticing the Walawala, restrict the overflight by any aircraft of any form. Isn't that what height? Do we have a height situation, or is this the one that you said the CAA would have to come in and determine to say how high or how low? I just wanted to check that because it was general, but if you got the CAA, and maybe they'll assist in doing so. But I also want to check with you as a department. When this bill was first presented in the National Assembly, it was reported that your poorness had some problems with, because it looks like, I'm just checking it so that I can get it correct. It looks like that there are cases where there are places where the poor will have to shift their railway line. And sort of who's responsible for that? Just clarify me on that. Maybe I've had wrong reports during that time. Because if that is the situation, if it doesn't exist, just say, well, you never heard about it. Now, the other one that I wanted to check with you is something that refers to the Northern Cape. Where was it? There's somewhere where on clause 5. The Declaration of Astronomy Advantage Areas, which you said the minister under 5.1a, the minister may declare any area or part of an area in the province of Northern Cape as an astronomy advantage area, provided that no such declaration may be made in respect of any other demarcated. Now, is it correct to specifically isolate the rest of the country and just do the Northern Cape, or is it correct just to say in the country, as South Africa is a country, so that in the event that there are other parts of the country where these aspects are required to be done, then you are covered by the law? Because that to me will also include the Northern Cape. But it also gives you an opportunity to have other parts of the country declare their stuff. I just want to get clarity on that, so that because it looks to me you are limiting yourself to Northern Cape for perhaps what you need to do now, but what will happen in the future when you have to do other things elsewhere? Thank you.
Yes,
ma'am.
Thank you, sir. On the issue relating to home of flight, we are saying there are many instances where you would want to prohibit people flying below a certain height because it may cause an interference in the core of the central area. Now we are saying in that instance, the minister with the concurrence of the council would then have to come up with regulations relating to how we're going to prohibit overflying the city. And I think that's my response to that one. The second question that you asked, and I think indirectly, that question is only related to compensation. Most of the people in the country have consistently made reference to, and you have said the position made in the bill for compensation, where, for example, you are denied of the use of your property. Now, on this question, we said Section 25 of the Constitution provides for people to be compensated in case they are deprived of their property. But we could not specifically and generally make provision for compensation, because we foresaw the possibility where people would have have to be care expenses anyway. But simply because this has provide for compensation in a general way, they would start claiming each and everything from the department for things that they would have done in any case. For example, like migration from analog to digital. Most of the people involved in the communication industry are actually in the process of trying to migrate from analog to digital. Now, we cannot want the department to pay for such expenses if they have a very blunted and general provision for compensation. As to whether or not poor network to move the railway line, my information shows that it is not correct, because when you look at where the corner center areas are situated or are going to be situated, I'm sure they are very far from the railway line that Telkom is talking about. I mean, the poor network is talking about. Okay, maybe one of my colleagues would respond to that one. I just wanted to see the last question that was raised was for section 5.1a that deals with the Northern Cape. Chair, why there was a specific section for the Northern Cape in section 5.1 that initially it was addressed that the 8th Astronomer Battery area would only be situated in the Northern Cape, but it later transpired that you may need some areas outside the Northern Cape. Now you will see, but you make specific reference to the frontline police, because you wanted to ensure people that you are not going to come up with prohibitions which take the business policy. But if you look at that section 5.1b, it's also reference to the whole public in itself. It's on page 7, line 10. It makes reference to the whole public. But this is what we are going to make, so we need to broaden to the Republic, because we actually encounter something where we want to replace certain areas outside the Northern Cape province. And because the Act does not provide for it, we will have a difficult way to get this block. I think we have addressed all the questions. My colleague will give you the second question that I've been saying.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to Stronet, yes, we can confirm that you actually Atlantic areas that would be placed will not in any way interfere with the line that are currently exist for Stronet. Another issue is around in particular a specific mentioning of the northern face of the region. A study that was done about a year or two ago that looked at population distribution in South Africa indicated that the Northern Cape is probably the most diverse place that astronomy, or at least radio astronomy in particular, but to a large extent optical astronomy as well, as ideal areas where we can, as a country, develop a global hub for astronomy. Simply because there is very little population density in that area. That was the rationale for particularly mentioning the Northern Cape infection. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comments from our members? Any query on any clause? Our honorable really take it off. Thank you. The Astronomy Geography Advantage Bill, B17B2007, that the opinion of the committee makes it desirable to provide for the presentation and protection of areas within the Republic that are uniquely suited for optical and radio astronomy, to provide for intergovernmental cooperation and public consultation on the side of training nationally, significant and strong advantage areas, and to provide for mental selected areas. As a bill, we said to the community the basis for such a law. Now I'll go to the bill. I am saying I'm putting the whole page. When I put the whole page, I mean all the sources on that page.
I don't think
it's a good thing. I don't all the thoughts on page 1. Page 2, all the thoughts on page 2. Page 3. Page 4. You stop doing what comes into this one. Page 5. All those have everything there. 6. 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, we got small amendment there. May to March. 13, that amendment there, concurrent of CAA. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Intentionally, 27, 27. Short time, agreed to, the bill is agreed to by this committee. This report, therefore, is that the next chemical education recreation considers the subject of the Astronomy, Geography, Advantage, Bill, D-17G, Northern 7, the text is either certified by the Joint Taking Mechanism of 25G, support the bill with the amendment. Agreed? Agreed. The last thing that we must decide on, honorable members, is whether we want to debate this bill or we want to make statements. I want guidance from you, honorable members. When I'm doing it, I have the report and copy. What is your suggestion? I see the man there on the
phone. Yes, sir. I think the concern for some is that from a mutual country, unless there's an evidence of sending you to the college, then you can be data. But I will really be confused about the statement on that day. I'll also be confused about the team that has only for the human services council who are here. That you have a statement, and that statement will sufficiently be dealt with by the chapter technique. We have listened quite attentively when we were looking on other aspects of the issue. And any other member can give you the role of astronomy. And I propose to the man, because the astronomy issue has a space around the gentleman. You mustn't have a laptop or a present address all of us. It's like 48 million capacity on the astronomy issue. There's a background, there's a context to that. and so I'm saying Suleiman will be better coach. But don't promote Naro Provincial.
Naro Provincial will be chauvinistic. Yeah. So it will be chauvinistic. Well, let us propose another table, Brother Runa. Let us propose another table. We agree, we don't agree. Statement. It's agreed. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. When you dealt with this bill, you departmental official, thank you very much for having dealt with us. Tell the minister to be rest assured. There's no need for him to come. He will make statements. Because he was worried that next week is going elsewhere, you know. So he can go there and there's no problem. He can still deal with it without him. Thank you very much. Thank you
very
much.
Very quickly, some of us are new in this process. You can be informed. I know I'm in a very discussion with my colleagues, but I think I want to hear from the process now. So to see what is going to be the process forward.
Well, I've never been called a host before. That's what I like to do. Well, I think the process with you is actually finished. What will happen is, both bills have got some amendments. You see, we will make the statements in the House. If we make those statements, the bills will be referred back to the NA. And then the National Assembly will consider those amendments and take a decision. And we have said in the beginning that really, it really depends on the if one can throw all our amendments out through the window, if it's one can take them all, like keep some and then some, and then they will actually pass the bill. And then from there, the bill will be returned to the president for consent. Then once the president has signed it, it is a law of the country. That's the problem. And I made sure that we hear the problem in which comes in us. We will be making good statements next week in the House. That is it. The secretary is just giving a low chaser lunch. It's arranged for all of you in the new wing. Second floor. And unfortunately, that is there because the two will not come back here, some of us.
Okay. Thank you very much.